Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning. My name is Krista Reyna, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And I am really grateful and humbled that I get to be here with you this morning and share this message. Now is the time in our service where we are connecting live with our Torrance campus. So good morning to everybody over there. If you're new with us, we are one church that meets in two locations. So we have another campus over on Lomita Boulevard in Torrance. Today, I'm going to be sharing a message with you. And then at the end of that message, we're going to take communion together. And I think that's going to be a really sweet time for us to kind of discern what Jesus is doing in our lives and to thank him for that. We are in the third week of a sermon series called The Voice of Jesus, where we are learning how do we listen for the voice of Jesus because he listens or he does speak to us. And we've been talking a lot about this word here, discernment. Discernment is the spiritual practice of listening to God as we live a life of faith. How do we discern God's voice, especially when it comes to our decisions that we're making in our lives? Now, we have a lot of voices coming at us in the world, which makes it hard sometimes to discern the voice of God. We've got social media and entertainment and our family and our coworkers. And those voices, they're not necessarily bad, but they can crowd out Jesus's voice. And one of the voices that we haven't talked a ton about yet is our own voice. How does our own voice compete with the voice of God when it comes to discerning what he's saying to us and when we make decisions in our lives? Now, I have a really strong internal voice, and it is really complicated for me to make decisions. I overthink pretty much everything, from what flavor of yogurt do I get at Trader Joe's to bigger decisions in my life that really matter. And this came up most recently for me in kind of a funny way. We here on the Journey of Faith staff decided that we were going to have a summer bake-off, and we called it the Great Journey Bake-Off. And every one of our staff members was invited to bring in a dessert and compete in three categories. They were most delicious, the most beautiful dessert, and then the most creative dessert. And when I heard about the Great Journey Bake Off, I was like, I am going to win this thing. And so I went through this long decision-making process of trying to figure out what dessert to make, reading all my cookbooks and going online and looking for recipes. And I actually became kind of paralyzed to make a decision. And it was a few days before the bake-off, I hadn't decided anything. And you know, it's been really hot lately. And so I didn't want to spend a ton of time in the kitchen. And I was walking through my kitchen thinking about it, and all of a sudden, I remembered a chocolate cake that my mom and my aunt and my grandma had made throughout my life. And so I'm like, I'm going to make that chocolate cake. Couldn't find the recipe, called my mom, she didn't answer. I text my cousin, hey, ask your mom for her chocolate cake recipe. And this is what she sent back to me. This is a picture. Oh, I love it so much. This is a picture of my Aunt Catherine's cookbook. And throughout the years when she made this cake for us, she would write down the occasion and the date. We had this cake for Valentine's days and wedding showers and birthdays. And if you zoom in way over here, which we're not going to do, you can see that she made for this cake for me on my 11th birthday. And I was like, the decision has been made. Like, this is a word from the Lord. This is the winning cake. So I make the cake. Oh, here's a picture of it on the dessert table during our staff meeting. You can't see it, but I called it Aunt Catherine's chocolate heirloom cake. I thought that heirloom sounded really fancy. We had the bake-off. Everybody brought their desserts in. And guess what? I did not win. Ugh, I was so bummed. But I want to give props to those that did win. Mark Chaney. Yes, so good. Mark Chaney is on our production booth here at Manhattan Beach. He won for the most creative, a really good dessert from the South. And then Rachel won for most beautiful dessert. You can't tell here because we'd eaten it already, but she won that. And then Diana Ortiz, who's on our kids team, she won for the most delicious peach cobbler with ice cream. Like, they all deserve to win. This isn't really a story about why I won or why I didn't win or why I lost. This is really a story about how the decision-making process can become complicated sometimes, even over small things like deciding on a cake. Some of you today are like, I have no problem making decisions. What are you talking about? Others of you are like, yeah, I get what she's saying. I have a hard time making decisions too. Wherever you fall on your ability to make decisions, we must listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit in that decision-making process. Because our decisions affect our family, they affect our workplace, they affect our future, they affect us. So we need to become really wise at understanding how do we hear the voice of God when we're making decisions. I want to just take five seconds right now for each one of us to pause and ask the Lord to bring a decision to your mind that you're facing today. It could be something big or something small, but bring that decision to mind now. Great. Whatever that decision is, hold it in the forefront of your mind and be attentive to what God might want to speak to you about that decision today. Now, throughout this series, we've talked about how we hear the voice of Jesus through his Holy Spirit. And then last week, Pastor Jill talked about how we can hear the voice of Jesus through reading our Bible and from other wise Christians. Today, we're going to talk about how we hear Jesus through our emotions and our intellect, our mind. So here's our main idea. We can wisely engage with our emotions and intellect to hear God clearly. God has given us our emotions to understand what's happening internally. And then we have to ask God, using our intellect, what he wants us to do with those emotions. We actually see Jesus doing this a lot in the New Testament. He meets people with strong emotions, and then he challenges the way they think. And we're going to talk about that today. So let's start with our emotions. God has given us emotions for a very specific reason. God himself is emotional. We're going to look at a story today where Jesus interacted with his disciples during one of the most emotionally difficult times they had in their lives. And the story happens about 3 years after the disciples had been following Jesus. And during that time, wow, they'd really grown to love him. They depended on him. Not only was he their Lord and Savior, but he was their best friend. And even though they didn't understand everything it meant that Jesus was the Messiah, they put their whole lives in his hands, in his trust. And one evening, the disciples are sitting around a dinner table with Jesus, and he gives them some news that really turns their lives around in a single moment. He says this, "Dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will search for me, but you can't come where I'm going." Jesus knows at this moment that he is about to be arrested and taken to the cross, and he's trying to help the disciples understand that. Imagine for a moment what the disciples must have felt like. The person that they followed, the person that they loved, says to them, "I'm leaving you, and you can't come with me." Imagine the grief and the confusion. And this brings up some tender emotions for some of us, because if you have lost someone in your life, you know what that does to your heart, to your spirit, the sadness that you feel. And Jesus, he's so loving with the disciples. He never shames them or tells them that they shouldn't feel a certain way. He says to them, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." Jesus sees their emotions and he draws them back to himself. He wants them to trust him. Even in our lives, when we are in situations where our emotions are strong, or even if you think back to that decision you made, Jesus is telling each one of us, "Don't be troubled. Trust me. Bring your heart to me." He goes on to tell them that he is going to leave for a little while. He will actually see them again. And he says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you in my Father's home. When he says that, he's referring to where they will spend all eternity with the Lord. The disciples, they're not quite sure what he's talking about, but he says, and you know the way to where I'm going. Now, the thing about the disciples is they didn't always listen really well to Jesus. He had tried to prepare them for this moment. He told them that he was going to suffer and that he would die and he would rise again. But the disciples, I don't know if they weren't listening. It says that God maybe kind of clouded their vision. They didn't get it, and they're super confused. One of them ends up saying, no, we don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus doesn't say to them, hey, you guys, I've been telling you this all along. He instead draws their deep emotions back to himself, and he says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's saying, I am the way that you get to spend all eternity with me in the Father's home. That's the same kind of comfort that Jesus gives to us in our lives when we are going through challenging situations or even when we are enjoying life. Jesus is still the way that we spend all eternity with them. And then in so much love, he leaves them with this. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. What I want you to notice about this whole interaction is every time the disciples show Jesus their strong emotions of confusion and fear and uncertainty, Jesus so lovingly draws them back to himself, and he tells them, I am the peace of your mind. I am the peace of your heart. Don't be troubled or afraid. And that's what Jesus says to us in our decisions, in our circumstance. And what's interesting about this is a few hours after this meal, Jesus was arrested, and his disciples are experiencing so much pressure. They're afraid and they're confused. And in that fear and in that confusion, a couple of them go on to make decisions that weren't the best choices. I'd love for you to go to read that story on your own. In our lives, when we are experiencing fear or confusion or any kind of strong emotion, Jesus says, bring that emotion to me. Don't make all your decisions based on those emotions. So here's the first way that we can hear the voice of God through our emotions. It's by learning to bring your emotions to Jesus before letting them shape your decisions. The emotions that we have in our lives, those feelings, we need to take them and give them to Jesus. Because in that, Jesus brings us comfort. He shepherds us through them. He teaches us how to navigate them with his help, with his voice. Let's look at a list of some emotions that are really common emotional categories. I think the disciples, as we read that story, we see them experiencing a lot of these same emotions of anger and sadness and fear. And they enjoyed time with Jesus and they loved him. They were surprised by what was happening. And disgust, maybe they felt that. Shame, one of the disciples who went on to make a bad decision, he actually felt shame. And Jesus, even in those moments, he loved him so much. Jesus never stops loving us based on our emotions. Christian thinkers have been studying emotions like this for centuries, and they've studied how these kinds of emotions affect our relationship with God. And one of the most famous Christian philosophers on this topic of emotions is a man named Ignatius of Loyola. And Ignatius realized that there are certain seasons in our lives where our emotions affect our relationship with God. And he refers to those seasons as these two, consolation and desolation. Now, consolation and desolation are not words to simply describe our emotions. These are experiences that we have with the Lord. Let me explain a little bit more what they mean. Consolation is a season in our lives where we feel especially close to God. We want to read our Bible. We want to tell people about him. We want to come to church all the time. We are resting in the presence of God in the most beautiful way. A lot of new believers actually experience consolation. And if you've been a believer for a long time, you might even remember when you first came to faith, you had almost a fire in your heart for God. That's consolation. And we do experience consolation during different seasons, not just when we come to faith. Consolation doesn't mean that we don't have painful emotions. In fact, we can be going through a really rough season in our lives where we're grieving or sad, and the Lord will give us consolation. I have a friend, a really close friend of mine, whose father recently passed away just a couple weeks ago, and she's devastated. She's never felt so sad in her whole life, and she told me the other day that even in this season of grief, she has never felt so close to Jesus. He is right there with her. And so that's consolation. The other side of that is desolation. So it's kind of the opposite. And I want to say up front, desolation doesn't mean that we're failing in our spiritual life. It doesn't mean we've done anything wrong. And it doesn't mean that God is mad at us. It means there is a season in our lives where we are having emotions that draw us away from God. God never, ever leaves our side, but we might pull away from him. Some of you today might be experiencing desolation, where you're not able to hear the voice of God as clearly as you once did. You're not sure if he hears your prayers. And this sometimes happens in our lives when we're going through seasons of difficulty. And it's hard to hear God's voice during that time. I've had a season of desolation before. And for me, there was almost like a desperation to hear God's voice. I had a lot of conversations with God of like, what is going on? Where are you? Speak to me. And I remember as I look back and I know God never left my side. I just didn't necessarily recognize him. When we think about the emotions in our life and whether we are in desolation or consolation, the key is that we don't make decisions based on strong feelings. Now, I just want to be clear. We're not always in desolation or consolation. Sometimes we're just having a bad day. But in the bad day or in desolation, we need to be really cautious about making decisions based on those strong feelings. I want to share with you a psalm that kind of speaks to this idea. The author of this psalm says, "Don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent." I think we can kind of use this principle for a lot of different strong emotions that we have in our lives. Don't sin by letting confusion control you or depression control you. Whatever season you're in, think about it. I want to add to this also, don't sin by letting enjoyment control you. There are times in our lives when we do that too. What this means practically is, if you just had a big breakup, don't decide to quit your job that same day and move to another state. If you didn't get that job you wanted or you don't get into that school, we don't throw up our hands and say, well, I guess God doesn't want good things for me. And this is kind of niche, but ladies, if you are in one of these seasons, don't cut your bangs. Like, don't do it. It's not what God wants from you, and you're going to be mad at yourself. So this is what it means. We need to, in those seasons, I've done it before. We need to, in those seasons, rest, take a nap, go for a walk, read your Bible, talk to other wise Christians. Find space where you can just be and listen for the voice of the Lord in whatever it is you're going through. So here's an action step I have for you today. I want you to log your emotions in a journal this week. This is a pretty simple practice where we become curious about what's happening in our hearts because we need to take those things to God. Let's go back to that list of emotions that I shared earlier. These are really broad categories. If you want to go a little bit deeper into the emotions list, look up online for a feelings wheel or an emotions wheel, and you'll find hundreds of words. And throughout the day, just pause and say, hey, what am I feeling? And then maybe at the end of the day or at the end of the week, you gather those all together and you talk to the Lord about them. So we've talked a ton about our emotions and how they help us understand what's happening within us, but we must ask the question, God, what do you want me to do with these emotions? And that's where our intellect comes in. We can hear the voice of Jesus through our intellect, our minds. We have the ability to take our emotions to God and genuinely say to him, hey, what's going on in my heart? So here's the second way that we can hear the voice of God, and it's by learning to thoughtfully examine your decisions and let Jesus lead you to joy. Jesus says when we follow him, when we obey him, he will lead us to joy in any circumstance, whether our decisions end well in the way that we wanted to, or whether we are in a season of desolation or consolation or strong, powerful emotions. Jesus says, I want to lead you to joy. Now, examining these decisions thoughtfully, I want to refer to it today as using our spiritual intellect. Our spiritual intellect is using the mind God has given us to prayerfully examine our thoughts, emotions, and decisions as we listen for the voice of Jesus. Here's what this practically looks like. It means we ask questions of God. We start asking questions like this. Are strong emotions influencing me? Is my anger or my enjoyment or my frustration or my confusion, is it causing me to make a decision in this moment that is not honoring of myself, of others, or of God? Here's the second question. Is there a sin in my life that's influencing me? Do I have a sin habit that is not what God wants for me in my life? Are there sinful thoughts or sinful influences that I have in my life that are causing me to make a decision, again, that's not honoring of who you are or who God created you to be? And then this last question, will this decision help me draw closer to Jesus? In your decision-making process, ask yourself, if I do this thing, will I feel closer to God? Will I feel closer to God in a week? In a month or 6 years from now, whenever it is, every decision we make should be centered around turning toward Jesus and what he wants us to do. He told his disciples a little bit more about what this looks like during that same meal. He said to them, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Jesus was telling them, when you follow me, when you obey me, when you give your lives over to me, you remain with me. This idea of remaining in my love, it means that we are so closely connected with Jesus that no matter what's going on in our lives, we are with him. He is with us. Some translations of the Bible use the word dwell. When we obey the Lord, we dwell with him. And that's such a beautiful thing. Jesus tells the disciples what comes out of obedience to him. He says this, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. The kind of joy Jesus is talking about here does not depend on us winning baking competitions that we tried really hard to win. This kind of joy depends on a knowledge that Jesus comes to us and he says, I love you, find peace in me. Jesus is drawing us to himself and there's so much joy. It's almost like a miraculous joy that even when you're facing challenges or you're going through a decision-making process, you feel a peace and joy with Jesus. So here's an action step for you. This week, engage your spiritual intellect and ask, will this draw me closer to Jesus and the joy found in him? Go back to those questions. Have conversations with God about the emotions that you write down during the week. Allow Jesus to draw you into consolation with him, into that sweet time with him when you sense his presence and you're resting with him. Here's what we talked about today. We can wisely engage with our emotions and intellect to hear God clearly. How do we do that? We learn to bring your emotions to Jesus before letting them shape your decisions, and by learning to thoughtfully examine your decisions and let Jesus lead you to joy. Come back to that idea of how Jesus kept drawing the disciples to him. Think about that this week. Maybe go read that story. We are going to have communion in a moment, and I will be passing it over to Pastor Alex at Torrance shortly. But I have one more thing I want to share, so thank you for sticking with me. In the New Testament, there is a prayer that a man named the Apostle Paul prayed for the early Christians. Paul was one of Christianity's first missionaries, and he wrote them a prayer so that they could be encouraged in the work of Jesus in their lives. And here's the prayer that he wrote to them. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is so wonderful. Based on what we read today, based on that idea that Jesus says, joy is found in me, peace is found in me. And I want to close today before our communion time by praying this over you as a blessing. So let's go ahead and bow our heads. And you might even consider kind of opening your palms upward as a way to just indicate that you are open to Jesus's leadership in your life, that you are open to receiving his love for you. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, you're going to see our ushers passing around the buckets with communion. Go ahead and grab one and then just please pass it on to your neighbor. Here at Journey of Faith, we have what's called an open table policy when it comes to communion. And that means that you don't have to be a member here at Journey. We just ask that you follow Jesus with your lives, that he is the Lord of your life. Communion, this communion meal, we take to remember Jesus. We take it to remember his work in our lives, what he's done for us. In fact, that story that I was telling you about today is the very same meal that Jesus gave communion to his disciples. Today, as we think about the work of Jesus in our lives and how we can trust him, and he is our hope. Let that be our motivation for communion today. Let's go ahead and just close our eyes for a moment and see if you can become very aware of the presence of Jesus in your life. Spend a few moments talking to him, maybe about that decision that you're trying to make. Talk to him about a challenge that you have, or maybe you do find yourself in desolation. Speak to him about that. He's there and he's listening. He hears your voice. So let's just be quiet for a few moments. And go ahead and peel back the foil. On the night that Jesus had that conversation with the disciples, he was betrayed and he was arrested and he went to the cross for our sins, for us. And he said to the disciples, as he passed around a loaf of bread, he said to them, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat the bread together. Jesus, thank you that you sacrificed your body for us. Thank you for who you are in our lives. We're so grateful. Go ahead and peel back the foil on the juice side. After After that particular meal, after the supper, Jesus passed around a cup to his disciples, and he said to them, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. Jesus, thank you for your blood that was shed on our behalf. We are so thankful and grateful for who you are in our lives.